It's Comedy on Vinyl Podcast. Jason Klom here, and this week I just kicked the table that the recording stand is on, and Dave Hill's with me. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
So we're in here in beautiful Silver Lake, California.
Yeah.
Enjoying ourselves. There's a dog here.
Waffles.
Have a nice glass of water, and thank you for the water. And, oh God. you're going to
pull. Oh no.
That almost went badly, but it would have been funny.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're the second person to ever pick Wild and Crazy Guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, most people pick Let's Get Small. And that's the one that I grew up with.
Oh, yeah. That's...
But this, honestly, I know is Steve Martin's favorite, too. Or at least it was back when he recorded it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he felt like he had been doing Let's Get Small for 10 years and then does this where he's like, I get to do some new shit, finally.
You know? Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's an interview I can point you to online that was this record they released sort of in conjunction with the release of this album, where he's actually interviewed, one of the few times he's ever interviewed about his comedy back then, and he talks about specifically that.
Oh, wow. That's comforting.
It is.
To know, like, right. Both as a listener, as a fan, and as a comedian, knowing him.
When did you first hear it?
When I was a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was I would have heard it at, like, my neighbor's house, just, like, hanging out in the basement. And I think it would have been, like, the first comedy album I heard, probably, or at least that I was aware of. I'm listening to a comedy album right now. And it was the first thing that I was probably like, oh, this is, like this guy's, like, and just being silly in front of a big audience. Because before that, you know, I think my notion of comedy was like... You know, on the what you used to be the UHF channels, you know, like a Bob Hope movie or like Jerry Lewis or whatever. I didn't quite understand that, like, a guy would be walking on stage and being really silly.
That's got to be mind-blowing a little bit.
Yeah, I was just, and it kind of, like, it didn't make me think, like, oh, I want to, I had such a skewed notion of comedy for such a long time, but I was kind of like, oh, like, this is, like, what, if you're a goofball like I am now, this is what you end up doing later.
Right, right.
You know, even though, that said, I was never, like, a comedy nerd or whatever, really. I mean, I think I ended up liking, I mean, I have very specific things I like.
Sure.
And I'm a fan of, but I wasn't, like, you know, devouring every thing that came out,
right.
You know, my whole life. I would just kind of, like, cherry pick.
Well, you're a musician too. Were you obsessive more over music then, or is it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think because I understood it more.
Okay.
Like, I understood what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, with comedy, like, yeah, I was always like Led Zeppelin. Hey, Allie.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. She was doing great.
Oh, are you kidding? She's a welcome guest. She's adorable.
This is Jason.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, you mean you think she'll leave the property? She's been fun. She had a strong showing.
She really did.
Hi, puppy.
She's reluctant to leave.
She's having a great time.
So if you didn't, so you weren't really seeking out extra comedy albums then after this, were you? I mean, it doesn't sound...
No, I mean, it was sort of like, I mean, I guess I was at an age where I wasn't seeking out any, I was just kind of like, just taking what was presented to me, both musically and, you know, I'd go to my neighbor's house and they would have, you know, stuff, Cheech and Chong and whatever. And then, but yeah, so I think I was just, like, too young to be like, oh, I could go out and get more of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, as it was presented to me, with everything, you know, with music, like, my dad had Led Zeppelin 4, and that's how I got into that, you know. And but yeah, I was older when I was finally like, oh, I can buy stuff myself.
Right. So is it, do you remember when you first, I mean, did you re-listen to this later when you maybe got more of it, if there's more to get, or no?
I did. I mean, I just remember it very like, I mean, he's always been one of my favorite comedians, but he represented to me what I've always loved, all of my favorite comedians, I think, have in common. Is that I perceived them as more these guys who were just like insane. Mm-hmm. And you had the sense like his act is very like this overly confident, you know, moron who thinks he's really suave. And, you know, I think like guys like him and Pee Wee Herman, Chris Elliott, like Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
All these guys my sense was like, oh, like if they were alone right now, they would be acting like this, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah.
We're just getting a glimpse into their world. Like this is happening with or without the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always, they've been the kind of comedian that I've been most in, that's what I'm most into. I've never been, certainly can appreciate, I mean, even to this day, and I think like what I do to some extent is that way. Not, I don't think consciously I set out to be like any of the people I just mentioned, but I like the sort of silliness of it, whereas I'm not as much into, you know, people that are like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. Like kind of like very presentational comedy,
yeah.
I guess I would describe it. Not that I think it's bad. There's certainly plenty of it that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that I almost feel like when the comedian is really just entertaining himself or living his life and we just happen to be getting a glimpse of it, you know. And I realize that's not what's genuinely happening.
Of course,
it's a performance and it's a written thing, you know. But I think like that's always excited me from... And I guess Steve Martin would maybe be the first example of that, like when I was very young and just being like, this guy is nuts. Like, and he just happened to walk on stage and be like, you know.
Yeah, but it does feel that way.
I'd be like, oh, like if he were having dinner, he would be the same idiot, you know.
Right, yeah.
Whereas you don't get that sense from like... I don't know. I mean, like, you know, someone like George Carlin or whatever, mm-hmm. who's great, is, you know, you don't get a sense from someone like that. And, you know, and I recognize that as great too, but it's not, I didn't identify with it in that same way. Like, I've always just like idiots, basically.
Yeah, no, it's you know? Solid, yeah.
And I think that's sort of like, you know, Chris Elliott is is the same thing, like sort of confident moron. And I think there's aspects of that same thing in what I do. You know, whether it's conscious or just like, that's just what I've always responded to. But even with comedy, like, yeah, I think as a kid, I didn't understand. I was kind of like, oh, these guys are silly and like to be idiots. Like I like, but it didn't occur to me like, oh, that's a job.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I always like, I was just, even when I started doing comedy like 8 or 9 years ago or whatever, I was still really naive to it in that. Well, first of all, like backing it up a bit, like I remember like Bobcat Goldthwait, I loved cause I was like, this guy's insane,
mm-hmm.
you know? So he came to Cleveland, where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
and he was like did an interview in the local paper or whatever, and he cracked some joke, and I was like, ah, that's great. And then he was on like the local news, whatever, like the 5 o'clock news, sort of like light news before the real news comes on. He was on that. You know, comedian Bobcat Goldthwait's coming down, and he said the same joke, and I was like, "What?
Oh, shit.
He said that before?" Because even as a young kid, like I was always like, I had like so this sort of thing where like I wouldn't repeat a joke at dinner. Like,
I
said that last Thanksgiving. I'm not saying that again.
Yeah.
Even when like my uncles would be like, "Say that what you said," I'd be like, no, man, that's not cool.
I burned that
and,
already.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I didn't understand. I always thought comedy was like, oh, it's it got, like these are silly adults just walking out and saying the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was the thing. And so anyway, I saw Bobcat Goldthwait, and he said the joke again. I was like, wait a minute. You know, and I wasn't disappointed in him, but I was like, oh, that's how this works. This is like a rehearsed routine that I'm seeing. And then even when I started performing, I thought like, oh, there must be a very small group of people coming out to the show. And in a way, there is.
Yeah.
But I thought you couldn't do anything more than once. So when I started comedy, I would do a show and be like, oh, that went pretty well. And then I would never do it again.
Holy shit.
And then, so, I mean, it was good because I worked really hard.
Of course.
You know? And then, but at the time, you know, I was doing a show every week. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, one show every other week.
Jesus.
For the first few months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then I had two shows in 1 week. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll just do what I did last night.
Yeah.
And then it went much better. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I get better at doing this if I do it again. You know, and I don't know why. So it's very, and you know, I wasn't a kid.
Sure,
like,
sure.
When I was doing it as a grown man. But anyway, I've gone off on this whole tangent away from.
No. This is all good. That's all the reason we're talking about it. I mean, I think every kid's concept of comedy. You can act like you were sophisticated if you like, but all of us desperately thought this was just a thing you could just pull out of your ass and just do and mm-hmm. live that probably every day without realizing, you know, there's adult stress that goes along with that. So there's no way in hell you could live that way without killing yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, I mean, same thing, like Letterman,
mm-hmm.
who's, you know, one of my all time favorites. You know, I always thought with him, I was like, oh, he was just like me and my friends. And then he had a friend who worked at a network and was like, you'd be good at hosting this
right.
show. I didn't know that he had, you know, written for Good Times and like
sure.
been a comedian and all that. I just thought like, oh, he's like me and my friends. That's who you give the job. And in a way, that's true. I'm sure he was that way
sure.
when he was a kid. But yeah, I didn't understand. No concept of that. People worked at it.
It doesn't seem like that you maybe... Did you remember bits from the album after the first time you heard it, or was it just the vague concept of who this guy was and what he was doing was fun?
No, like people... Yeah, I mean, it was like me and my friends, obviously. Like,
mm-hmm.
repeat the bits
okay, so
to each
that.
Other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like, just to refresh my memory, I was just out for a run. I listened to the album again because mm-hmm. I hadn't heard it in a little while. And now it just totally took me back. Like, oh, this is like, you know, repeating these jokes to each other. Even like... jokes that we didn't like I remember the first time, like, not even sure I got them, like
mm-hmm.
like the like my she had the best pussy, like that was my first first time I ever heard that idea was presented to me.
That's fucking great.
Like that this
mm-hmm.
word had another meaning
mm-hmm.
and so I was laughing along with my friends like, oh, that's really funny, having no idea what the joke was
uh-huh.
and then it was explained to me. Well, and I was like, oh my gosh. And the same thing, like, he wanted her to sing from her diaphragm. Like, same thing. I'm like, like, having no idea why that was funny.
Of course.
But, I mean, most of it I got.
Mm-hmm.
But, there were things like that. I was too innocent to know.
Of course.
But then it was explained to me. I was the last one to get it. And
mm-hmm.
like, you don't know what's, you know. But yeah, but then we would repeat the jokes to each other and all that. And
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, it was like a constant thing where we had it all memorized and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then, so it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't until later really that you started maybe picking more stuff up on your own. I mean, obviously I'm assuming you watched too and listened to other comedy, but it wasn't like a thing where you had to get more.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been that way.
Yeah.
Where I mean, I've always been a fan of comedy, but
yeah.
more in the way that like anybody is, like in
yeah.
the way that a lot of people are. Like, I wasn't like, I gotta get everything by this guy or that guy. Like, I think in the end, like, there's just things that do we need to wait for this?
Nah, it's probably fine.
You know, I ended up, I don't think, I didn't miss, I ended up being, like, pretty, like, obsessive about it ultimately. Like, I don't think there's a whole lot I've missed where I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that,
right,
you know? But it wasn't like I was just sitting there all day, you know, I was into other, like, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. I'm like, especially being a musician, I was, like, fully into just rocking out.
Of course.
So, yeah. I probably spent more time doing that. But, like, you know, but the things that I was into, I did have, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, from Chris Elliott being on Letterman, you know, when he would do, like, The Guy on the Stairs and all that stuff. And then all the Get a Life stuff. So the stuff that I'm into, I'm super, like...
Okay.
But drilled down on, like, I can speak with authority.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I wouldn't say, like... I don't know. Like, on the one hand, I'm like, oh, I was kind of, like, casual about it. But I don't know. I guess maybe I was really into it.
But just certain things.
Yeah, certain things, I guess. I mean, I'm not that way now. Like, in a way... I mean, I love comedy, obviously. But I also... probably don't like most of it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I completely
like I most, you know how it is. Like, it's like there's a lot of stuff I respect and I understand why it's popular and I recognize someone as being very good at what they do,
right?
But in terms of like what I would want to see,
yeah,
it's not what I'm into, you know? But I guess everyone's probably like that.
I think so. I mean, is there something, though, that you can spot that's missing for you? Or is it a matter of I know it when I see it?
I think I know it when I see it. But I think what's most appealing to me, and I think, you know, the Steve Martin, going back to this album, is like, the for me... beginning of that, even though, you know, there's stuff prior to him,
sure,
like where, but anybody that was just completely silly, completely a buffoon, and never cared about being cool in any way, like was not afraid to be a complete moron.
Yeah,
because I think, you know, I don't want to name, I'm not going to say this person, that
sure.
person, or whoever, but I think there are many comedians, like, hugely world famous ones, and then, you know, kind of other ones who aren't quite as famous, who don't really want to look stupid ever.
Sure.
Like, there's a part of them where they're not willing to, like, be an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how self-deprecating, I think being self-deprecating is a very different thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, because there's people that will just be like, ah, I'm an idiot, and but they still want to be cool.
Right.
And they, you know, and I don't know what's behind that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always admired comedians who are just like, that just being a fucking idiot is job one,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they don't care about whether they look cool.
Right.
So, yeah, the guys that I've always liked, I think, have always been that sort of performer, like Steve, you know, the guys I keep mentioning.
Sure. I mean, with Steve Martin, he'll be the first, obviously, the first person to shit on his own banjo playing, but he's a guy who's, you know, at the very least, he's still a great banjo player.
Yeah.
Even if he's not a master, whatever. There is something to be said for having that sort of savant edge around it. Like, it's like, I can do this kind of really amazing thing.
Yeah.
But I am still acting like a complete fuckhead on
stage. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, you've got, I don't know how many years of, like, your whole life of music training, right? And
pretty much.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got that edge too, where you can shred on stage, but at the same time, it's like, it's not that that doesn't matter, but all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, but look at the guy, quote unquote, who's playing what you just listened to. Is it fun to play with that expectation?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a good, another thing, like, cause I think I'm still figuring it out. I'm just sort of scratching the surface of, I'm hoping, like, I figure out more to do with music and the guitar and comedy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a while, I probably forgot, like, you know, because I think it was cool how Steve Martin Because it's not necessarily funny to be good at the instrument.
Right. No, not inherently, yeah.
It's funnier to just kind of bash away and suck at it in a way. But he never did that. He was like, kind of like really, you know, I'm sure like whatever Earl Scruggs or if I'm getting that, whoever would recognize like, oh yeah, he's not the greatest.
Sure.
But to the average person, he's pretty ripping.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know? And he is very good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I think that was, is, yeah, it's that thing, like this buffoon, like who it's almost like an autism. Like mm-hmm. he's ripping, just like playing these cool banjo licks. And with the same thing with the guitar, like I was sort of like, I didn't play the guitar in my shows really for a while because I was like, oh, that's not funny.
Right.
If I'm good. But now I think I've started to figure out like, oh, wait, that's actually really funny.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm kind of like, can do these sort of like Eddie Van Halen sort of things, but mm-hmm. like in a really stupid way, you know, I think it's fun to do and hopefully I'll figure out more and more of things to do with that. But
seems like an obvious way to get people on your side, but at the same time, it's like maybe it's more permission to act like an idiot. I don't know if that's what it is or not.
Yeah,
it depends. I don't know if it depends on what you do first on stage, what they see you do first.
Well, it's a good. I mean, as for in terms of getting people on your side, I mean, because it is a thing. Like, I mean, I guess at this point, a lot of people know that I'm good at the guitar.
Yeah.
So. But also the expectation when a comedian puts on any instrument, you think like, oh, they're going to be horrible.
Right.
Or like they're just going to be, you know, three chords or whatever. Because that's what most people...
Or just do comedy songs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like comedy songs, like I think there's some people who are great at it.
Sure.
You know, Tenacious D, Flight of the Conchords and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most of it is kind of like, oh, it's like very... like remedial
yes.
knowledge of chords and then kind of like rhyming silly things
mm-hmm.
and it's like some, you know, it's done very well by some people, but then sometimes it's really not much more than I described,
of course. Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't want to do that. So yeah, I've been kind of like figuring other things to do with it, but going back to getting people on your side. When I've done a couple of shows at Sing Sing Prison.
Really?
Yeah. And the first, well, both of them now, I was just like, I have to get these guys on my side.
Uh-huh.
And I knew, I was like, I don't know if I can do it, like, by talking.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, I knew I could do it by talking.
Sure.
But I knew... I mean, eventually, I was like, I know I can win them over by talking to them. I know I'm confident I can do that, but I know I can win them over right away by just playing a crazy guitar solo.
Of course,
because they're a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, Johnny Cash did it. Fuck,
and
man.
So that's the first thing. And it's funny. I was there with a friend of mine, Carl Arnheider, and he was like standing in the back. With, you know, there's like 300 inmates. And
Jesus Christ.
Like he's talking to one of the guards, and the guard's like, because the thing at Sing Sing is that you know when there's a performance, so they'll have like Shakespeare
mm-hmm.
community theater coming,
mm-hmm.
whatever, and so but when they come to these shows, it's not like you're like, oh, I'm gonna head back to my cell,
right?
Like it's kind of like we're all here or we're all leaving,
yeah.
So. The only way for them to all leave if they hate something is to end it themselves by scaring the shit out of the performer, which they do
uh-huh.
a lot,
I bet.
I'm told. So the guard was saying to Carl, he's like, he really needs to get, they better like him because they can be really mean, really harsh guys. Of course.
Sure,
they're
of course.
A bunch of murderers and rapists.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I came out, the first thing I did was just, like, solo, like, crazy Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen stuff, like, and then Carl said, as I was doing it, the guard came over to him. He told me this after the show. He's like, the guard was like, they like him. They respect him. like before I said a word.
Holy shit. Cuz
I was like I wanted them to be on my side before I said a word, and I was like, that's the only way I can do it.
Oh,
and so I did it, and it totally worked.
Mm-hmm.
But
good God.
And then, well, this is going more guitar stuff, but
it's all right. Now, no, this is good.
Fast forward to, well, like this, so this, that was like 4 or 5 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, like a year ago, I went to a friend of mine is a priest in Mexico, like northern Mexico.
Okay.
Crazy murder Mexico.
Sure.
And he's a priest in prisons there.
Jesus.
So I've kind of become fascinated with prisons. Mm-hmm. And things for a variety of reasons. And so I was like, I'm going to come down there. This is kind of a dumb thing to do.
Uh-huh.
But because it's like cartel murder land.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
And I don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and he's like annoyed. My friend's like getting kind of annoyed with me. Like, how do you not... You know, you're an adult. You haven't picked up a conversational Spanish at this point. I'm like, nope. I'm like, I can order beer, tacos, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, all right, you have to play guitar wherever you go, like in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's like, you have to get these guys on your side. Like, they have to like you. If they don't like you, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
So I just did the same thing, only on, they just had like, nylon string guitar.
Oh, shit.
They and in a Mexican prisons are lousy with guitars. They're everywhere.
Okay.
So I just played. We went to two different prisons, and I just played my ass off the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "Mission accomplished." He's like, right. "They think you're like the coolest guy," because I was just playing. You know, they would play chords, and I play solos, and
mm-hmm.
that's all we did. We couldn't talk to each other. So he's like. It's like, you definitely made some fans in there today.
Jesus, man.
So anyway, I've made it turn that into a long answer, but...
No, but that's kind of what it's about. I mean, it goes back as far as, you know, the earliest anything you could call stand-up comedy, maybe with the exception of Mark Twain, is that you had to have a bag of tricks just in case, you
mm-hmm.
know? I mean, if you want to go to the stereotype of getting tomatoes thrown at you, in order to not have that happen, you had to have a backup.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, it's good to have that strong act, but to have an equally strong just skill, that you entertainment skill, I think is important.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that earlier today, is, like, you know, the fact that, like, Steve Martin, Johnny Carson, and Dick Cavett, and I'm mm-hmm. sure other comedians as well, but those three guys all started as magicians.
Yeah.
And Dick Cavett, whom I've been lucky to become friends with, over like the past few years, he's still like breaks out magic tricks all the time.
That's so good.
Like, we'll just be at dinner and he'll be like, where's the deck of cards? And
holy shit.
But it's like this thing, I don't know. Yeah, it's just like having another some other ace in the hole or whatever.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I mean, I obviously if you're packing a 40,000 person arena, you don't need the banjo anymore. But it's expected, and it's still impressive, you know? It's still this other thing to mix it up.
Yeah, totally.
So most recently, like, today was the last time you listened to it. I mean, how long has it been since you've heard it, do you think, this album?
I mean, today, honestly, would be the first time I listened to it from start to finish, and, you know, gosh, I don't know, several years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but when I put it on, I was like... You know, I wasn't like, well, oh, I don't remember this.
Right.
I remembered every bit of it.
Of course.
But it was nice to go back and, like, and just listen to it again.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
No, of course.
And it was actually very, like, instructive in a way. It kind of, like, made me go, like, oh, yeah. Like, this is how comedy works.
Yeah, right.
You know, because I don't know, like, I've never really intended to go to become a comedian,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a late bloomer with it in terms of being a performer, and so I still feel like I'm just figuring it out.
Sure.
And even though I'd heard that album a million times, to not having heard it in a little while, and then to go back and be like, oh,
yeah.
Like, you know, this is like... kind of like a master class in comedy, and like especially the kind of comedy that is very appealing to me.
It's so different to listen to that stuff after you've started doing it yourself. You know, yeah. It's a totally different perspective on it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you know, because I like that it's just like complete silliness. There's nothing relatable about it. I mean, there is,
sure,
but it's not like, you know, he's not saying, you know, because I think a big part of comedy, not in comedy that I enjoy personally too much, but is rewarding the audience by being like, the audience wants to think they get the joke.
Sure.
And understand what you're saying. And the easiest way to do that is to talk about something they are completely familiar with. Like, whatever, like The Real Housewives or whatever. Everyone in the audience is like, oh, yeah, what? I know that show. So you're halfway there. And I'm not knocking people that talk about that stuff. It's just not necessarily what the first thing I'm thinking of is what I want to hear or someone talk about.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do any of that. And that's, again, one more thing that I love. Like, I love someone who's coming from a place of just, like, this is this nuts world, you know? And, of course, along the way, you know, he does end up kind of talking about things, that, you know. But it's all just, it's absurd. It's, you know, and it's that's the kind of comedy that is my favorite.
Usually if it starts off on a note that seems fairly standard issue, I just love the turn it takes every time. And to hop back, because I'm more familiar with Let's Get Small, but just to hop back to that momentarily where he's talking about having, you know, a conflict with his girlfriend, it sounds like something everybody can relate to. I'm going to take her keys, and then I shot her with a shotgun, cut her in half. I mean, that's just, it's, you know, it's so fucking, like, it's phenomenal, because he doesn't, I mean, some people have the perspective that he was making fun of what it was to be a stand-up, and I think that's great. And it's you know, it's a little meta for its time, if that's what he was doing, although I don't know. I think I maybe prefer your perspective that it is just silliness. I mean, he was very tight with his jokes.
Yeah.
You know, they're very polished, and I've, like, in that thing that I listened to him talk about it, he was concerned with word choice, where this joke, one joke totally bombed one night, somehow, Steve Martin bombing ever, then, you know, changed a word around, and it just killed. You know, like, he was, I guess that kind of shocks me, thinking that he was that tight on word choice, but it's just because it's so frantic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting how that, one tiny little thing, and sometimes you know exactly what you changed, and then other times it's, you know, but yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't compare myself to him at all in terms of being good.
Sure.
Or
sure,
whatever. Well, but yeah, like, where you go, like, oh my God, like, this thing, like, now I just did this little thing and gets this big laugh. Or yeah, sometimes something that you change, not even knowing that it was going to result in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, now that's why that works or whatever. It's very interesting.
Are you concerned when you're performing? Are you concerned? I'm just curious what your perspective on it is, because if only having, I've seen some of your stuff and heard some of your stuff. I've never been fortunate enough to see you live, but, you know, I've seen plenty of your stuff.
Oh, you're
online.
In for a treat.
I really, really, really want to, desperately.
Come to Hot Tub tomorrow.
Oh, really? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Because I'm just curious if you're, some people, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling here, but some people have a, and I won't call it a pretentious perspective on comedy, but some people are just in it to give people an experience, and they want it to feel like a certain thing. They want to put people in a certain state of mind. Others are just very much like, no, I just care about the jokes. Others are just like, no, generally the word is entertaining. I just want to entertain. Do you have a particular, a set perspective, or that you want people to have at the end of it? Or is it you just want them to have a good time? Or do you think about it in that way at all? I'm just curious.
I guess maybe a combination of it, like,
I apologize. That question was all over the place.
No, I mean, I think ultimately, like, I want to be myself and be true to, I mean, it's cliches, I guess, but
no, that's okay.
But I really want to be true to what entertains me, what makes me giggle, and hopefully there will be people in the world who feel the same way, you know,
because
in terms of being like, oh, I probably to a fault, I'm never like, what will an audience like? I don't think that way.
Okay.
I wish I could.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Much better.
Yeah.
I don't think at all like that. And sometimes I'll be like, write stuff, and I'll be like, oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be like, do I think it's funny, or do I just recognize it as a joke? Yeah. That, and then when it feels in that sort of like, oh, this is definitely a joke that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's funny.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say... I sort of judge it by, like, would I say that at dinner to get a laugh?
Yeah, I like that.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of how... And I'm not saying that's what everyone should do, but it kind of goes back to being a kid and being like, I couldn't have thought of this at 8 or whatever, 12, but, like, would I say this at Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then that's probably what I want to say.
Yeah.
But, but no, I don't care about the audience in that way, like where I'm like, oh, I want everyone to have a good time or whatever. Like, I hope that it works out that the audience likes me, obviously. Like, I want to be liked, and I want people to laugh, and I want the jokes to work. But I think when I started, I was so terrified. I was, you know, shaking.
Yeah.
And so uncomfortable that, you know, it became very early on. I was sort of like, well, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, everyone's going to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to try to make myself feel better. And I'm sure as hell not going to try to make you motherfuckers feel better. So I started to, like, kind of make that a part of what I was doing from the beginning. Where, because I noticed, like, I was like, oh, like, it takes so much more energy to calm yourself down and be like,
yeah.
So I just was genuinely uncomfortable, and I noticed that people were entertained by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, that's good, because I don't have to try to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And so no, I ultimately want to just kind of be true to what I and it's a physical thing. You can feel it when you're writing it or thinking or of course saying it, you know, and there, you know, but sometimes there's things that I think are really funny that I still am like, that's really funny, but no one's gonna laugh at that in a room.
Yeah,
you know, there's some, like, you know, I don't have to keep a list of it, but there's some things I'm like, that's, or whatever, even like a tweet, I'll be like, that is one of the funniest tweets to me, but, like, it's not popular.
Yeah,
or whatever. But ultimately, I guess I want to, yeah, just kind of do what I am entertained by.
Yeah.
But that goes back to what I was saying earlier of what I felt about, you know, the same, you know, guys I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, Steve Martin, Chris Ellie, Pee Wee Herman, Bobcat Goldthwait. That's what I liked about them is I felt like, oh, they're doing this whether they have a show or not.
Sure.
Like, and they don't, you know, I mean, you know, and they're pros, obviously, but yeah, I just had this feeling like, oh, this is, they're so true to, like, doing that thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always, that's my favorite thing. And that's, you know, that's what I think what I tried to do. I'm not saying I succeed at it all the time, but enough that I, you know, I can pay the rent.
Right, right.
Or whatever.
I mean, was it, when you first performed music live, though, I mean, when you started stand-up, if you decided to say, oh, fuck it, this isn't comedy right now, I'm just going to play music, would you have been okay? Or were you just as nervous to be playing music?
I think I was nervous, but, I mean, since I've started... I mean, comedy is much harder than music. I mean, obviously, there's the writing. The writing for both is you know, you have to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And but in terms of performing, comedy is so absolutely much harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a band can go and play and no one can be there. The bartender can be there and you can still play and sound fine and go pack up and go home. But comedy, you can't do that. There's so much, like, energy you're dealing. I mean, it's the same thing with music, but it's just a much harder thing. Like, so and there's, you know, music, you're in a band, you're like, that's my buddy, we've been friends since we're teenagers, mm-hmm. and all this stuff,
yeah.
and like, you, even on a physical level, like, I have a big hunk of wood in front of my balls right now, I feel a little safer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things that you don't have with comedy.
Yeah.
So, no, at this point, I don't feel nervous in that way with music.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably did, like, when I was first starting
sure.
playing in bands, like, wanting to play. And actually, I got nervous the other night. I was doing a sort of, it was comedy, but I was playing the guitar,
mm-hmm.
and I was opening for a band, Death of Samantha,
mm-hmm.
Who were doing this reunion show in Brooklyn, like, last week, and Jay Maskus, you know, from the, oh, fire. All the fires happen right when
apparently,
we're
just
podcasting. I think this is coming down.
Oh, yeah, that's coming close.
Holy shit. But he was at the show. Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr., who's, like, you know, a guitar hero. And then so he at one point was, like, standing, like, 10 feet from me.
Oh, shit.
And yeah. I was, like, soloing stuff, and I could feel that I was, like, kind of tensing up a little bit,
because
I was, like, and I know Jay, and I've toured with him before,
mm-hmm.
but it's still not making me any more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just sort of, like, I could feel myself, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely nervous, and my hands are cramping up a little bit right now, because, like, I'm soloing in front of a guy who shreds.
That's the equivalent of, like, dry mouth at a microphone.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, but anyway, yeah, I think, but the different, well, I guess with anything, if you're nervous, it's good, I think, beforehand, like, you know, I think it ends up being, and especially with comedy, I think the worse I feel before I go on stage is the more I can use that energy. It's almost like, creates like a rawness to where you can feel the energy of the room a little better,
mm-hmm.
and I usually never drink before I go on stage, mm-hmm. with comedy, just because I feel like it dulls, you can't feel what's going on as well,
right?
Like, you know, you have to you can slip into autopilot a bit,
yeah,
because you're kind of just numb.
I mean, with comedy, you have to play off. You don't have to, but you are. There is a back and forth. There is a bouncing off the audience more than with music, if only because with music you can fill the room and everybody has to sit back and take it.
Yeah, yeah, and you can play a bad song from start to finish, and there's no. People will clap for a bad song,
mm-hmm.
but people don't laugh at bad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's fake laughter for sure, and there's polite laughter,
mm-hmm.
and you can definitely hear the difference, but yeah, you don't get a bunch of people laughing their asses off at something that's not funny, but
yeah.
plenty of people will cheer on a shitty band,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm counting on it, but, you know.
Do you listen to comedy anymore? Is that a bygone thing for most people? I mean, is it for you live stuff?
I do. I mean, I feel like I see so much comedy.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily sit there and listen to albums, like, as something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same way, like, you know, now it's really hard to listen to podcasts because it's like, everyone has one.
Yep.
And so you're doing your own podcast, mm-hmm. and then you're on other podcasts. It's like there's less and less time to listen to.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I still do, but sure. like, you know, it's not like an everyday. I mean, I think ultimately the audience for comedy albums and podcasts is like people that can wear headphones at work all day,
mm-hmm.
you know?
100%.
That's the easiest way to do it, and I don't that's not what I do, so
yeah.
But I think most of the comedy I see now is live, like where I'll be, you know, whatever, do a show or and see whoever people on the bill, or I'll go see a friend, and or I'll be at a festival and check out, so I end up seeing a shitload of it,
sure.
You know, just by being in it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and anymore, it's not necessarily a snapshot of this giant experience you missed out on, like, a stadium show, you know?
Yeah.
It's not an event like any Steve Martin show, at least felt like it was. You know, you're getting like, well, this guy or woman, they've been working on this for a couple of years. Here's all their material. It deserves to be put down on a piece of, you know, on something, on a vinyl or on a CD. And that's great to have. And if you're a big fan of theirs, and especially if you're somewhere where you're not going to get to see them, it's good to have a memory of this person you just saw live.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like, you know, there aren't as many giant comedy events to capture anymore where it's super important to have that.
Yeah, it's
I could be wrong, but that's how it feels.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't know. Like, because I was going to say, like, I was like, oh, yeah, and, like, there's not many, you know, people performing on that level who mm-hmm. are just great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, like, because I was like, oh, no, you know, people that big, there's a couple of them are good, and, like, most... You're probably, if you're a real comedy fan, you probably don't like them, but I imagine this was the same then. I can't think of who would have been huge at the time that I wouldn't have liked.
Right.
I'm sure if I'd really sat here, I could think about it, but I don't know. It's the same thing. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I guess it's like people go like, oh man, the 60s.
No, you're
there
right.
was Hendrix and there was Joplin and everyone was fucking the greatest. It's like, no, there was so many shitty bands then too. You know, we just happened to remember the mm-hmm. good ones. So I don't know what I'm saying, but hopefully something made sense, relevance. In that.
Made as much sense as any of my questions, so it's okay. It's really okay. So I always ask people if nobody's ever heard this album and somehow has lived under a rock where Steve Martin doesn't exist, why would you recommend to listen to this album? What's a good reason to sit down and listen to this?
I don't know. I mean, the bass, it's hilarious. Yep. It's the basic thing, and it's I think it stands up too, like, you know, as it's still very, you know, because obviously comedy evolves so much, and you hear, you know, if like you go back and you listen to Woody Allen, that stand-up comic mm-hmm. album, mm-hmm. which is great, but it's also like kind of like you really see, like, not saying it doesn't stand up, but it's very like, oh yeah, this is very of that era.
Absolutely.
And like you couldn't really could tell these jokes now, but I mean, it's kind of like a good example. It's like when Norm Macdonald did, it was like the roast of, who was it, Bob Saget?
Yeah.
A few years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he did, I might be getting this wrong, but I was at the taping,
mm-hmm.
and he did, I think, like Henny Youngman jokes the whole time.
Of course he did.
And if you didn't realize what he was doing,
uh-huh.
you would think, like, he was just a hack.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, then when you realize what he's doing, you're like, oh, he's delivering material of, like, a guy at the top of his game, mm-hmm. You know, in that era. But now, all these years later, it just sounds like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. But I feel like, anyway, Wild and Crazy Guy, I feel like doesn't, it's still like if someone walked on stage and did, well, obviously they did it now, they'd be like, oh, you remind me of Steve Martin.
Right.
But it's still very funny and doesn't, to me, feel like super dated or anything. It's like kind of still really hilarious.
Yeah, there's not even much in the way of slang. You know, it's one of those things that just, yeah, it's really timeless. And it's so rapid fire that it just kind of blows me away.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And it's like a fast, I mean, I just listened to it again earlier today and I was like, wait, this album's only 10 minutes. But it's like 40 minutes, but it goes by so fast because it's like really just, I mean, I stopped and I looked and I'm like, wait, did I listen to everything? Like, how is this over? It just put it on.
It's crazy.
But it's just great. Great stuff. And you know, and then of course the most popular thing from it is probably the least interesting thing, the King Tut thing, which is still great, but
oh, of
it's
course.
Like that to me is, you know, not even then I was like, oh, this is throwaway bullshit. But of course, it's like the biggest thing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of a testament to its power, if only because, like, he could have coasted on that shit. He could have coasted on a couple characters from an SNL, but he didn't. He put together a tight album of really great material.
Yeah.
He was really concerned with that.
Mm-hmm.
He was so... He could have, like I said, he could have just coasted on being Steve Martin and somehow just didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Too much integrity, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's mind-blowing to me. I mean, not to me. I would hope if I ever got that famous, I'd be doing the same thing. But it is just... I guess it's more refreshing, I guess is the word.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I keep going back to this, but, like, I love that there's nothing cool about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, you know, this suave idiot, which is always just so energetic. Because I just feel like so many people, like, very popular comedians today, not everybody, but there's plenty. I mean, and there's plenty back then, too, who they want to be perceived as a cool guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Like, I think that didn't matter at all to him, and I love that. Like,
yeah.
It just is so appealing to me. Just a fucking idiot is my favorite thing in the world.
Thank you so much for doing this, for one.
Oh, thank you.
Where can people find you online, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
DaveHillOnline.com
mm-hmm.
or on Twitter, at Mr. Dave Hill, at Mr. Dave Hill. Facebook.
Mm-hmm. They should get your book, Tasteful Nudes.
My book, Tasteful Nudes. Listen to my new radio show, The Goddamn Dave Hill Show on WFMU
mm-hmm.
every Tuesday, or you can stream it at WFMU.org or listen, subscribe on iTunes. But the iTunes version doesn't have the music. They take it out.
Oh, right.
So it's still great, don't get me wrong. But it has me, like, back announcing music that you never hear.
Oh,
really? You go, like, you just heard. But you didn't.
That is strange.
Yeah, I wish it could. So, and, like, I only play, like, you know, 10 or 15 songs
mm-hmm.
out of the 3 hours, but it's easy to sit there and spend forever, like, what's the best song to come after? You know.
Well, this has been awesome.
Thank you for doing this. Thanks for having me.
And obviously, you're welcome to come back on at some point if you feel like it.
I'm going
to
talk about Let's Get Small next time.
Yeah? Good.
No, man. I'm trying to think what would be. That just came to, you know, while. Yeah, that just came to mind to me as, like, oh.
It's one of my favorites. So, you know, I'd be happy to talk about it again and again. Like,
cool.
Well, thank you for joining us. Obviously, everybody, thank you for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit StolenDress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on Facebook.com/ComedyOnVinyl, Twitter at ComedyOnVinyl, and find everything else at ComedyOnVinyl.com. I'm Jason Klom. Each week, my best friend Dan Gomiller and I relive the comedy of our youths on Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour, the podcast. You'll hear comedy and improv gems going back as far as 1993, making it the most easily avoidable and embarrassing thing we could put ourselves through each week. But mostly, listen as two best friends catch up for an hour each week, one from Boise and one from Burbank, the cultural hubs of the world. So find Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour, the podcast, at iTunes, or at StolenDress.com's podcast section. For more, go to djchpodcast.stolendress.com. Don't do that. Just go to StolenDress.com.